You have a copy of the Word of God tonight. We'll begin once again in our primary text, Matthew chapter number 10. And as we're looking through these apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, these men that committed their hearts unto Him, and He in return committed His power unto them and helped them and strengthened them and done a great work in each one of their lives. In each one of their lives, there's something that gives an example unto us as to how that we should live, sometimes as to how that we should not live. But I'm thankful for each and every one of these 12 disciples of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've looked at several. Tonight we're going to look at the man by the name of Thomas. So if you found your place, let's stand tonight and give honor and reverence unto the Word of God and just ask God to help us out tonight through the Word of God to receive direction for our life. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, fortunate faith. Fortunate faith. I want to tell you tonight that if you're saved by the grace of God, you're a fortunate individual. If you're one that's been able to have the ability to put your faith in something, you know, the Bible says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. And if you're able to do that, then my friend, you're a blessed individual. You're truly, truly fortunate. And I want to preach to you tonight on that thought. The Bible says in Matthew 10 and verse 1, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas." You may be seated tonight. Fortunate faith. Well, Thomas is also one of those disciples that in the Synoptic Gospels is not mentioned very much, other than the listing of his name as it's grouped along with the other disciples, the other apostles, and giving us direction as to whom that it was that accompanied the Lord Jesus as His time was spent here on this side of eternity, on this earth. But if you'll look with me once again over in the Gospel of John, we find there's three distinct passages in which that Thomas is made mention of. Now, we're going to look at the most noted over in chapter number 21. But we're going to begin in chapter number 11. Chapter number 11 of the Gospel of John. And some of these are some places that we've looked at before, evidently. Obviously, as we had the privilege to preach through the book of John prior to this time. But I want us to look at just these three passages of Scripture and have some thoughts tonight as to how fortunate our faith truly is. Now, the Bible does not give clear direction as to whatever that Thomas was called, as He does for Simon Peter and for Andrew and for James and John and even Matthew. It does not give us that clear, direct calling as to when that Thomas, his life was changed. But I believe that there's a change that took place in Thomas's life, because nobody would exemplify the faith that Thomas exemplified unless there had been a change take place. My friend, we can try to be good. We can try to look like the church. We can try to live godly. But I'll tell you what, it's awful hard to do in the flesh. And sometimes folks can succeed to fool themselves and fool others around them for some time. But my friend, the truth will eventually come out. And if you're not saved by grace through faith, it's awful hard to live for the Lord Jesus for a long time. But I believe that this man had a true faith. I believe that he had a genuine faith. First evidence that I find that gives direction unto our text tonight is found there in chapter 11. I believe, first of all, there was commitment of cause. There was a commitment of the cause of Christ that was evident in the life of Thomas. Now, look at what the Bible says there. It teaches us about this man by the name of Lazarus. Now, we know that Lazarus was a sick man. We know that Lazarus had died, and we find that Jesus had heard word of it. And it tells us there, and let's just read the text. It says there in verse 1, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now I want you to listen to what the disciples said. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And they're saying, look, Jesus, these people want to kill you. They don't want to see you become a rising star amongst the land of Judea. They don't want to see you draw thousands upon thousands unto thee, because they know that if they allow that to take place, there's going to be an uprising. They know that there's going to be a great movement here in the land of Israel. And I think it'd be best if we just stepped aside, because if we step back in that land, they're going to seek you out. They'll hear of your coming. They'll know that you're there, and they're going to want to kill you. For the Bible says there that they said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, he said there in verse number 4, he said, But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Hey, I'm telling you what, Jesus is going to receive glory no matter what the circumstance. Jesus is going to receive glory no matter what the test or what the trial. He'll always identify himself. He'll always be magnified. Now the Bible says there, he spoke unto them plainly and said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas in verse 16. Now, Thomas is always pictured as being the doubter, doubting Thomas. And we see that there in chapter number 21. But I want to tell you what, Thomas was a man that had great faith. Thomas was a man that had the ability to place his trust in the Lord Jesus. Hey, you could not have answered the Lord Jesus and responded. Hey, the rest of them had turned their back on going back unto Judea. The rest of them said, let's don't go. Let's just stay here where we're comfortable. Let's just stay here where that we're safe. Let's just stay here where that we feel calm and we feel secure. And that's exactly where a lot of people want to stay, is in a place in which that they feel comfortable, and a place in which they don't feel like that they're having to step out and get out there in faith. But I'll tell you what Thomas said there in chapter number 11, verse 16. It says, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, which means twin, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of faith to say, Jesus, I'm going to walk with you every step of the way. It don't matter whether they're going to try to kill you or stone you or get rid of you. I'm going to stick by your side. Hey, I'll tell you what, Jesus is going to stay with you. Amen. He's going to stick with you, the Bible says, closer than a brother. Hey, Jesus is going to be there no matter what takes place in your life. Hey, if you lose everything you've got and you go bankrupt and nobody else wants to have anything to do with you, Jesus will still be there. Hey, if you get a bad sickness and you're on your deathbed and nobody's around, Jesus will still be there. Hey, even if you are successful in life and everybody's jealous of you, praise God, Jesus will always be there. Therefore, we need to always stick up for Him. Amen. Hey, Thomas had a commitment to the cause of Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, are we truly committed? Hey, would you have went with Him? Would you have walked with Him? Hey, they've been able to see many miracles. And Jesus is getting ready to perform this last great miracle in the Gospel of John before He enters into that upper room and begins that long discourse that takes up the majority of the book of John. But we find the Bible tells us here that as He was going to perform that last miracle, even though there was a time in which they might have felt like they were getting ready to be pressured and squeezed and in a place of discontentment, in a place in which they felt like that they were in danger, Thomas said, let's go with Him. Hey, it'd be better to die with Jesus, knowing that you're in the will of God, than to die outside the will of God and allow Him to be separated from thee. Hey, I'll tell you what, there was a commitment of the cause that was evident in the life of Thomas. Look with me over in John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. We find that there was not only a commitment of cause, but there was also a need of knowledge. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for what God's put in me, because He's put a hunger and a thirst inside of me to know Him. He's put a want to inside of me to know more about Him. And I'll tell you what, sometimes it's more fervent than others. But I'll tell you what, I wish I had the fervency that I had several years ago. It seems like life gets so many things going on that sometimes it's hard to spend the proper amount of time in study and the proper amount of time in prayer. And I'll tell you what, we ought to have a desire, a need within ourselves of knowledge. Look what the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus says there, this wonderful passage, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Now, He makes that statement. He gives us great direction as to what lies on the other side. Amen. What comfort. What great comfort that we have in the Word of God to know that Jesus is preparing a special place, a room and a mansion that's set aside just for you. Hey, He's over there preparing it. And what glory, what splendor, what majesty that it's going to look at wherever we lay them glorified eyes upon it. And the Bible says there, "And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." And then it says in verse 5, "Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Hey, Thomas was the one that stepped forward and said, "God, I have a need for knowledge here in my life. I have a need and a want to know just exactly what is the way, just exactly what direction it is that You're taking us, where You're leading us to. Hey, I'm walking by faith, but my faith has brought me to a place that I want to soak it up. I want to saturate it up. Everything I can learn about You." And the Bible says there that Christ says in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way," amen, "I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him." Hey, Thomas had a need within himself. Now, we might look back and say, well, Thomas ought to have already known that. Thomas ought to have already come to that place in his life. But I'll tell you what, he was not too high-minded. He was not too proud to ask questions. Amen. And I'll tell you what, when you quit asking questions, that's whenever you say, "I've known it all." When you quit having a hunger and a desire to learn the Word of God, that's whenever you come to a place where you think that you've known it all. I want to tell you what, from the time you got saved, till the time you're laid underneath the sod, or until Jesus comes back and we go with Him in the rapture, there ought to be something inside of us that draws us to the Word, that draws us unto the house of God, that draws us unto camp meeting, draws us unto revival time, draws us unto a place in which that the Word of God is being taught. Ought to have a desire to turn the radio on to hear good preaching. Hey, go on the internet, hear good preaching. Hey, that'll be something inside of you wanting to fill yourself up with the Word of God. So we find that old Thomas here, he had very fortunate faith. Hey, if you have a desire to know more about Jesus, you're very fortunate, because there's a lot of people who don't know Him. There's a lot of people who don't have no desire to know Him. But if God's placed that inside of you, you're a fortunate individual tonight. So we see the commitment of cause. We see the need of knowledge. But look with me over in chapter number 20. Chapter number 20 of the book of John. I said chapter number 21 a little while ago, but it is chapter number 20 of the book of John. Now, we know that Jesus has died. Jesus was buried. Hallelujah. Jesus rose again. And the Bible tells us there, and teaches us of how that Christ came and intersected the disciples there. And if you'll look with me in verse number 19 of chapter number 20, we find the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." Here they are fretting. They're worried. They're thinking, boy, if they went and got Jesus, they're going to come get us. If they hung him on a crucifix, there, hey, one of us is bound to be next. So they hoarded themselves up in a room. Now it was on Sunday, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. And then the Bible says, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them. I'll just take a little sideline right there. Ain't it good to know that whenever you're fearful and whenever you're frightened and whenever you don't think that there's no hope and there's no way that Jesus will come by and He'll stand right there in the midst with you. Hey, I'm glad that He's the fourth man in the fire. Amen. I'm glad that He's there with you. No matter what trial, no matter what temptation, no matter what situation, no matter what disease, no matter what bad time might come in your life or in mine. Hey, Jesus will be there, and He'll be right there in our time of fear. Now the Bible says there that He said unto them, peace be unto you. Hey, I'm glad for the peace of God, aren't you? The peace that passeth all understanding. It's the peace of God that allows us to have the faith that we need to have to serve Him. And the Bible says, and when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus showed unto them the scars in which that the Roman centurions had given unto Him. Hey, I'll tell you what, I believe that Jesus' body was perfect. Now, it doesn't say that He had scars on His back. I don't know that He has or not. I don't believe so. I don't think that way. I believe the only thing that Jesus had left upon Him was the scars from those old those nails that were placed within His hands and within His side, because those were things that were prophesied that would happen unto Him. And of course, that cat of nine tails was too. I'm going to get myself in a hard spot here if I keep on going in that direction. So I just want to tell you, it's good to know that Jesus showed unto them His hands and His side. Then the Bible says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As My Father has sent Me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them or forgiven. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. He gave them the power to take His Word and give direction and discernment unto a lost generation, and give them the assurance to know that if they place their faith and their trust in His finished work, and if they were drawn to His grace, and they had repentance in their heart, and they said, yes, Lord, I want You to make a change in me. Hey, they could be saved and sealed and one day to be delivered unto glory. But if they did not seek forgiveness, those sins that they had beforehand would be committed unto them eternally forevermore, and they'd be banished and damned to a devil's hell. But the Bible says here that Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So we find here that in fortunate faith, not only do we see commitment of cause and need of knowledge, but I believe we also find defeat of doubt. And now don't tell me you don't never doubt the Lord. I believe these people say they don't never doubt. They don't ever have any worry whatsoever. I believe they're liars. I'll just be honest with you. Hey, God has brought me a long way on this journey. God has brought me to a place where I've got more faith today than I probably ever have had in my life. I'm right at the place where that I've got more faith. But that don't seem to always conquer every doubt and every fear. Hey, I believe that I'm growing in the Lord. But hey, there's still some times where I wonder as to how things are going to pan out. I wonder just exactly what's going to take place. And that was probably the situation that Thomas was in. But we see that there was the defeat of doubt. Now the Bible says there that the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Can't you imagine they come here, Thomas, where have you been, man? Thomas, I know you love Jesus, and He's not with us no more. He's been crucified and buried. But I want to tell you, He's arose, He's alive, and He's well. And I'm glad to see you, Thomas. Boy, we have seen the Lord. I just want to tell you, He's alive. We saw His nail-scarred hands. We saw His riveted side. We have seen Him. And the Bible says there that the other disciples spoke unto Him, but He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, He says, I will not believe. Now I'll tell you what, there's something that can be said for Thomas's faith. But there's also something that can be said as to what that causes one to doubt, what that causes one to be weary and one to be wondering. I believe one thing that really hurt and really hindered Thomas in many ways, and I'm not downing Thomas tonight. He might have had to have had a little bit of time for himself. Might have had to have found himself a little place of solace and got along with himself and gathered his thoughts and gathered his composure. He might have loved Jesus. Some believe he loved Jesus just as much as John did, and that he was just as close unto Jesus as John was. And he might have had to just get himself a little alone time. But I believe one thing that added to his doubt was his absentness. Amen? I'll tell you what, I believe Christians that always worry and Christians that always wonder and Christians that consistently doubt and fear and fret are mainly the ones that do not show up for Bible study, the ones that do not feed themselves with the Word of God, the ones that are absent when the preaching's taking place, when the singing's taking place, when the fellowship's taking place. Hey, there's something to be said about church. And church is a faith builder. Church is something that we can draw together and form a faith that is going to be incorruptible if we allow ourselves to be present. I believe something that might have contributed to that might have been his absentness, but it also might have been the quietness. Oh, he hadn't heard from Jesus in a while. Jesus had been taken away. He had been crucified. He had been buried. He had been placed in that barred tomb. Thomas had not seen him. Thomas did not know that he was alive. And he was in a quiet time. Now, I'll tell you what, sometimes we feel like God has left us and God has forsaken us because we've not heard from Jesus in a while. We've not heard from Him in a while with our ears, our spiritual ears that God gives unto us. And we might start to doubt. But I'll tell you what, just because you don't hear Him doesn't mean He's not near. Amen? Sometimes we won't hush up long enough to hear anything. Amen? Sometimes we're more concerned about me, myself, and I than we're concerned about hearing from Jesus. We're more concerned about talking about who said this and who said that and who done what than we are concerned about hearing from Jesus. Sometimes we won't cut the racket of life down long enough to hear from Jesus. And sometimes we just need to set everything else aside. Just shut everything down. Get in a quiet place and an alone place with the open Word of God and get on our face before Him and allow Him to begin to talk. Hey, God cannot talk if you won't hush your mouth. God cannot talk unless, until we shut these lips and say, God, speak unto us. Speak unto us. So we find that those might have been some contributing factors. But I'll tell you what, there's defeat of doubt when Jesus comes by. Amen. Hey, the Bible says there that He said He would not believe, He would not trust, He would not accept unless He put His own hand in the print of the nails and His finger into the print of the nails and thrust His hand into His side. But the Bible says there in verse 26, and after 8 days, again His disciples were with them and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. Boy, I'll tell you what, when Jesus shows up, that puts a hamper on our doubter, don't it? When Jesus comes by and allows Himself to be made known, to be evident, all of a sudden there's defeat and doubt. There's no more doubt when we know and we see and we believe and we trust. And sometimes God might allow Himself to linger a little bit longer than what we feel like He ought to. But I'll tell you what, He's an on-time God, amen. Hey, God has never lingered too long. He's never delayed too long. God is always on time for you and your situation. So He knew how long that Thomas could doubt. He knew how long that Thomas could fret and how that he could fear and how that he could wonder where Jesus was. But Jesus came right at the right time. And the Bible says that He stood there in the midst. So we see the defeat of doubt in our fortunate faith. But then we also see the impact of evidence. The impact of evidence. Look what it says. Jesus spoke and He said, "Peace be unto you." I believe that as He was there in that room and He entered into that place, I believe He probably saw them 10 disciples standing there. And He'd already looked at the rest of them side by side. He'd already looked at the rest of them eye to eye. He had already allowed the rest of them to to take and to place their hand in His hand and place their hand on His side. Hey, they had already had the ability to see the evidence. But all of a sudden, the impact of the evidence of a risen Savior became evident unto Thomas. And it wouldn't surprise me if Jesus didn't just walk right in the room and step right up to Thomas and said, "Peace be unto you. Shalom." Hey, I'm glad that God can come by. And sometimes He don't deal with necessarily the one in the back row. He don't deal with the one over on the other side. Sometimes He comes and He sits right down in your pew. And He sits right close to where you're at. And He allows you to know that you are the one that He's speaking to. Hey, I know that every message ain't for you. I know that every message ain't for me. But I know that every message is for somebody in the house of God. And every time we come, and Jesus might just be speaking unto you. Let me ask you, how's your faith tonight? How's your faith? Hey, you've been wondering, you've been worrying, you've been fretting. You've got a circumstance, you've got an issue with a sickness. You've got a child or a grandchild that's out in the world. Hey, you got somebody on your heart that's lost. Hey, there's somebody that's impacting your life. And you're wondering, God, when are you going to do something for them? I'll tell you what, just hold on. Just keep placing your faith and your trust in Him. Just keep believing in Him. God will come along one day and you'll be so fortunate that you'll see the impact of the evidence and you'll step back, you'll say, "Yes, Lord, I see now Your whole divine plan. Yes, Lord, I see now why You allowed this to happen in this way and in this manner and in this time frame." And I'll tell you what, God is always an on-time God. That's why it's always so important that we not pray for our will, but we say, "Thy will be done." And we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when we do that, we know that God will add all things unto us as to what we need. So we find here that Thomas placed his faith in the man. And all of a sudden we see the impact of the evidence. He said, "Then saith he unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Hey, God does not want us to be faithless. Church, you are the born again. Church, that word church is ecclesia. It disturbs me whenever some loose denomination, some cult will add the name church unto themselves. And that girl got expelled out of school downstate or whatever and said that she was a part of the church of body mutation or something. I forget what it was, but why add the word church on anything like that? I want to tell you what that word church, the word ecclesia, means: the called out ones. Hey, I'm glad that I've been called out of sin and called into salvation. Amen. I'm glad I've been called out of the world, been called into the way. I'm glad I've been called out of a place of defeat and doubt and worry and called into a place of being able to say, "Hey, I'm fortunate tonight because I've got a Savior who's always faithful and He encourages me to place my faith and trust in Him." Every decision, everything that we've got going on in our life, we need to give it unto Him. And my friend, Jesus will bring along the evidence sometime, some way, and the impact of the evidence will be so tremendous on our life. Hey, my friend, I'm thankful that I have seen the evidence, aren't you? Hey, I've not laid my eyes upon Him physically, but I'll tell you what, Jesus made a great impression upon my heart. I'm thankful for what Christ has done for us. Hopefully you can say the same. Hey, Jesus said, "Be not faithless, but believing." And look what Thomas said. Thomas answered and said unto Him, "My Lord and my God." Hey, he come to a place where he recognized God Almighty and recognized His power and His prominence and His position and His authority. Hey, he recognized Him as to whom that He was. He said, "My Lord and my God, Master." He's acknowledging Him as being the ruler over everything that He's got. And when Jesus makes Himself real unto you, there won't be no problem with turning the checkbook over to Him, will they? Won't be no problem with turning the keys of the house over to Him. Won't be no problem in putting your youngins in His hands. Hey, my friend, Jesus is the one that we need to trust in tonight. And so we see the impact of the evidence as it became real unto Thomas. So we see the commitment of cause. We see the need of knowledge, the defeat of doubt. Number four, the impact of evidence. And number five, the blessing of believing. The blessing of believing. Look what the Bible says. Jesus saith unto Thomas, "Thomas, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I want to tell you what tonight, that's you and I, church. Amen. Hey, I've not laid my physical eyes upon Jesus. I've not placed my hand in His hand in that nail-scarred place in which that Roman centurion drove that spike into Him and hung Him upon that cruel tree. Hey, I've not seen the side and placed my hand upon the side where that centurion took that spear punctured His side. I've not laid my eyes upon that. But I'll tell you what I have believed in. I've believed in the finished work, that what the Bible says is so, is so. I believe that what God said, as it is, it is. And I believe that if He says that if I place my faith and my trust in Him, it's not by my works, it's not by anything I can do. For the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is not righteous? No, not one. So, hey, the ground at the foot of the cross is left for all, but there's hope for everyone that'll place their faith in the finished work of Jesus. And the Bible says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That believing means trusting. That believing means putting your faith in Him, acknowledging the Bible is the authoritative Word of God. What it says is so, is so. And my friend, the Bible says, and blessed are they that have not seen. You know, sometimes we need to tell our faith that we're saved. Amen. Sometimes we need to tell our faith that we've been born again. Sometimes we need to tell our faith that, hey, we're not going to have to go to a devil's hell when we leave this place. We're not going to have to feel the flames of eternal fire. We're not going to have to hear the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Hey, we're not going to have to go through that because our name's been written down in glory. Because our name is written in the blood of Jesus. Because we have a home and a mansion awaiting unto us. And happy we ought to be because of what Jesus has done unto us. That word blessed just simply means happy. Many believe in the Old Testament it means double that. It means happy, happy. Hey, we ought to be happy for what Christ has done for us. That'll be joy. It's a blessing to be a believer. Amen. Hey, the Bible says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Hey, He's the Messiah. He's the Anointed One. The Son of God. And that believing, ye might have life through His name. So let me ask you tonight, do you have such fortunate faith? Do you have likeness of belief? Do you have that same assurance that Thomas has? Oh, you might be fretting something in your life. Might be doubting what God's going to do for your children. Might be wondering what lies ahead next week, next month, next year. Might have some frets and some fears, but let me tell you, place your hand in His hand. Place your trust in His finished work. Call upon Him and believe that He will see you through. Amen. Hey, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be right there. But the Bible says there, and that believing ye might have life through His name. I love John 10:10. I've come that thou might have life and life more abundantly. Somebody here tonight, you're saved. You've got eternal life, but your life's not abundant. It's not seems to be happy because you fret and you fear and you worry and you wonder. But yet you call yourself a child of God. Let me ask you, when's the last time you just laid it down at His feet and left it? When's the last time you just said, God, I'm not going to worry about this thing no more. I'm not going to carry this ball and chain no longer. I'm placing it at Your feet, and I'm trusting it, giving it under Your care, and I'm turning away, walking away and saying, Lord, I believe that Your will be done. Somebody here tonight, I don't know what your problem is. Don't know what you're wondering or worrying about. But you know, and the Lord knows. So give it unto Him tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.